You're listening to the Haunting of Bly Manor after show by Horror Movie Talk.
Hello, Governor. You're listening to Horror Movie Talk special, The Haunting of Bly Manor After Show. On a normal episode, we would review and discuss one horror film in detail. For this series of 10 episodes, we'll be having an opinionated and accidentally funny discussion of each episode of The Haunting of Bly Manor. Your panel of expert hosts for each episode are me, Dr. Bryce Hansen, and I hold a PhD in spookology, and with me, as always, is the Professor David Day. The foremost expert in Scare No Nos. So without further ado, The Haunting of Bly Manor After Show with Horror Movie Talk. Oh, God. That was only take three. So, hi, David.
Hey, how are you guys doing today? Or, you know, this evening? Or in this morning?
Just got to channel my radio DJ.
Yeah.
Like, I realized as I was editing the Antebellum episode. Mm-hmm. Yesterday?
Yeah.
Good Lord, that thing was long. Yeah. And about an hour of it was just us drooling over Janelle Monáe.
Oh, she's so gorgeous. let's not get into it. This episode could easily turn into just Janelle Monáe talk.
Anyways, I realize how bad my diction is. So
yeah, it's your diction. Yeah. That's bad.
So we got a great show today. How we're going to handle these episodes is starting out with a brief synopsis of the episode, and then we'll get into spoilers and take a deeper dive into what we liked and hate about the show. I mean, most of the episode is going to be spoilers. We're going to talk about the show. It's an after show.
Yeah, it's an after show. That's what do you want?
But we'll make sure to mark the spoiler section so you can bail if you need to. Today, we will be talking about episode 5.
Oh, 5. This is a kind of a sad episode for me, because once you're done with episode 5, you know you're more than halfway through the series. Mm. And I've come, like, 5 and 6 really kicked this in the butt for me.
Right.
Like, they really put it into a place where I was like, okay, now I'm super bought in.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of reveals in this episode. And you know that because you just watched it. This is the after show. This episode is all about Hannah Gross. I think it's Miss Gross, right?
Miss Gross. Miss Grossman? Is it Miss Grossman? I'll look. You go ahead and keep talking.
It's about Hannah. This episode keeps the audience off balance by jumping back and forth through time and between memory and reality. As confusing as it can be, there are also a lot of revelations. We finally learn what that crack is all about. We see more about how Rebecca gets entangled with Peter and her rationale for, you know, getting involved with an obvious sociopath.
Yeah, he's a lunatic.
And we even see why the lady in the lake is so dangerous.
Yeah, that ending. Woo, buddy. And, you know, this episode was super confusing. I mean, intentionally so.
Right.
I'm so curious to hear somebody who's more intelligent or capable of breaking this thing down than me.
Right.
Yeah. Is that you? Are you that person who's able to?
I think between this episode and episode 6, it kind of establishes some of the rules of the world that they're building. So,
you know, and I have some theories about this episode that, you know, I haven't ventured past six, but I'm hoping that my theories will be confirmed and they will just snap episode five into focus for me and I'll go, yeah, yeah, that makes sense now. Like if Hannah is X, then I can, my theory is right. And this all makes perfect sense.
Right. So, before we get into spoilers, just want to plug our website. It's horrormovietalk.com. You can find links to all of our social media. We've got a great Facebook group going on right now. You can check that out and get in on the discussion. We post normal, you know, movie review episodes every Wednesday. So, you know, we got a big backlog for you to check out
and
as
make
well.
Sure to subscribe to Horror Movie Talk if you appreciate these episodes and want to hear more.
Yeah. If you want to leave us a voicemail and have any questions or want to criticize us for our lack of research and not knowing the names of the characters, call 682-253-4468. And, you know, if you really like us, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/horrormovietalk. So, anyways, thanks again for listening. So let's get into spoilers. Spoilers, Governor. It never gets old.
It never does.
I mean, it's, you know, since we got so many Americans speaking with English accents.
Put another shrimp on the barbie.
Was that the Queen of England?
That's what she says, right?
Yeah, right.
She says that a lot.
Right.
I was under the impression. There's talk about impeaching her or something like that. Like
really?
Getting rid of the royal family.
Yeah, I mean, they talk about that all the time.
Yeah. It seems like something to do if you're not part of the royal family. Bunch of jealous bitches.
So.
Not like us, super, you know, we're. Us at Bly Manor, we pay our respects.
Mm.
Respect.
So, let's go. Yeah, I mispasted the bullet points on this. So, last episode we ended with Danny throwing in mirror man's glasses into the fire. And this doesn't really pick off from there. It goes back to when Owen was being hired as the cook and he's being interviewed by Miss Gross.
Yeah. Grossman. I can't find it anywhere online, just mostly because, you know, people like us haven't written about it yet. So,
I'm pretty sure it's Miss Gross.
I think it is Miss Gross.
So, or Hannah. We'll just say Hannah.
Yeah, just say Hannah.
So he's being interviewed by Hannah and he kind of reveals his backstory that we already know, that he's taking this job because
close to home.
It's close to home. He doesn't have to be a sous chef, which is just chopping a bunch of vegetables all the time.
Yeah. He came from Paris, right?
Yeah.
He came from Paris, France, where he, you know, lived a much, theoretically, he lived a much more, lavish or, you know, cultured lifestyle. And now he's back at his home, you know, and he's taking care of his mom who's ailing.
Yeah. So her question to him was basically, are you going to stick around for a while?
Right.
You know? And he says, yes, for the time being.
He's like, hey, baby. Yeah. Anything you want.
And it starts, you know, I mean, it's a lot of quick flashbacks and flash forwards and stuff. Like, it's very, like,
intentionally
put you off kilter. It's hard to, like, remember the through line for this because it literally is like you're experiencing it as she's being snapped into different timelines.
Right. You know? It's intentionally fucky. Yeah. It definitely messes with your balance.
Yeah,
because
it's
you're watching the episode.
It's not just that it's playing with time, but it's also it shows her reacting to the jumps themselves.
Right. It's her experience.
Yeah,
it's like it's very weird, and it goes to the filmmaking expertise that goes into the rest of the episodes of this series, which is a lot of times Hannah will be in the background and she'll just be kind of like, staring into the middle distance, or kind of like over or underreacting to something. Like she'll be.
Yeah, I mean,
she'll be in, it seems like she's somewhere else, you know?
Yeah, I mean, the first minute that we're introduced to Miss Gross is at that well, when Danny walks up and she's like completely spacing out.
Yeah, it's which, like, by the way, is where this episode ends.
Right.
At that well.
Right.
At that exact moment.
Right.
So
yeah, this. So they kind of give what I assume is kind of the thesis of the episode. Owen, I think it flashes forward back to the bonfire and they're talking, or they're just talking in its modern day or whatever.
But, yeah, it's current times.
But Owen shares with Hannah a quote from Thomas Merton, and I think it explains who he was, but I forget. Anyways, the quote was, "Once we get consciousness and identity and all the things that occupy the front of our brains, you reach a transcendence." And I think, oh, he's talking about his mother, basically, because she has Alzheimer's and she's like all that ego and kind of what makes you a person kind of melts away.
Yeah.
With that. And again, I mean, I talked a little bit about my dad. That's like, yeah, the personality kind of melts away at the end of your life for everyone, really.
So weird.
Yeah.
That's probably the thing that everybody dreads more than actual death, you know, is like not being them anymore.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's like the you're transitioning to the eternal, you know?
Yeah.
Like you get to experience something other than
ego being locked up in your fucking head all the time.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds goddamn wonderful. So maybe the ego is the terror in you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe that's the fear everybody feels is really just their ego not being able to conceive of letting go of itself.
Right. Yeah. Because you're very important and you will never die.
Right. Well, I am.
Right.
Everybody else. I've been playing with this idea of maybe I'm a solipsist, you know?
Mm.
Like, maybe everyone else is fake, and mm-hmm. I'm just the only thing that's real. Because the way things work out, it seems that way. It seems really plausible, Bryce. I'm not going to lie. I'm starting to...
Well... So we can blame you for the shitty world that you've created for yourself?
Yes.
God damn.
Well, you can, but it won't matter because you're just a part of me.
So if I just murder you right now, then like this will all cease to exist.
Maybe, but I don't know that you could.
That's real tempting.
It's
real tempting.
I won't deny that, but I just don't think I'm going to give you that much strength.
Right.
It's going to take a lot to take me down.
That's true. Flashes back to when the Wingroves, the parents of the children, are still alive.
Yeah, this is maybe the first time I think I actually get to see the dad.
Right.
I can't remember his name right off the bat.
Oh, you know.
He's in my episode, so that's the next episode we're recording. What is his? Dominic, I think. Dom.
Okay. Where did all the pictures go?
There. Yeah, Dominic. Yeah, so I think this is the first time I get to see Dominic. I don't think it's the first time I get to see Charlotte. Charlotte is the mom of the kids. Dominic is the dad.
And the mother, I have written down that it was played by Kate Siegel, but it's not. I think it's Alex Esso.
Oh, okay.
Which she played Wendy in Dr. Sleep.
Oh, yeah.
She was the stand-in for Shelley Duvall.
The woman who plays Charlotte, the woman who plays the mom in this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I gotcha.
So
Mike Flanagan kind of likes to go back.
Oh yeah. Mike Flanagan
reused people.
Yeah. Has,
yeah. You know,
has a
isn't
cast of favorites.
Definitely. Isn't Henry, Elliot from E.T.?
Yeah.
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 Henry, the uncle, is Elliot from E.T. I was like, this guy looks so familiar. And obviously I remember him from the first season of mm-hmm. The Haunting of Hill House. But I never put those two together.
Yeah.
It's goddamn crazy.
Yeah. So we're kind of shown what they're like and the dynamic between Peter and Hannah.
Yeah.
And how fucky that is.
Yeah, Peter hates Hannah. And Hannah hates Peter. Like, they are not fans.
Honestly, it's really hard to keep track of the time jumps. Like, these bullet points, just like, I can't remember what happens. So.
It's not meant to be kept track of in a severely linear way, and certainly not in a discussion like this. Like, you could write this all down and eventually come up with, like, a flow chart.
Right.
But,
it's like those people that, like, have figured out Prime and have those ridiculously elaborate, like, diagrams and charts of what happens in the time travel. And have you ever seen Prime?
What is Prime?
Am I remembering the name correct? I think it's Prime. It's like a time travel movie. It's a really low budget, and it's basically like two.
Oh, Primer.
Is it Primer?
I think it's Primer. Yeah, because I've seen that. Oh,
okay,
movie.
Primer. Yeah,
yeah.
I think it's Prime. Prime is the one with Gwyneth Paltrow, who's a mathematician or something like that. So Primer, yeah, that movie is. I watch that, and I'm like, I get it. It's very complicated, and it has. I'm sure there's a way to figure out what's going on, but
yeah, that's right. That was not. That was a good movie, though.
It's not even worth it. Like,
you don't like it.
And then after I see how they broke it down, I'm like, oh well, that's impossible. Like, someone had to do like a doctorate thesis to break that down, because it's like, oh, you can tell that this is from a different timeline from everything else that happened because of like, he had a pencil in his ear. Or something, you know. It's like, okay,
all right. that's the giveaway, huh?
Anyway, so it's really hard to keep track of it. I think the main points that stand out are like, it really kind of shows Miles becoming more of a sociopath as we kind of realize that he's being possessed by Peter.
He's just a real jerk.
Yeah, it shows him shaking the ladder, and that's the. I think we talked about in a previous episode that. I can't remember. What's the character's name? It's played by Amelia. So Jamie is up on a ladder, and she's like, I will fucking end you. I'm not joking. I will take you down.
And then he's like, oh, look at you. You're flush. You're right. So pretty when you have some red in your cheeks. And she's like, man, I don't even know what you could do with a kid like that.
Right.
That's such a... A tell for like, I have it all under control. It's like, look, I got you. Mm-hmm. I know you. I know what she's going to do.
Right.
What are you going to do? You going to hit me? I'm a little kid.
And that's like the confidence that you would only see in an adult inhabiting a kid's body. Like, oh yeah, I'm a kid. There's no way they can hurt me.
Yeah. Anyways. It's pretty
impressive. Very nice.
It's pretty impressive.
And then it goes back and it kind of continues the story of Peter and Miss Jessel and their courtship. Peter comes back after the batter incident.
Yeah. How dare you taste another man's batter? She's like, what are you talking
about?
Well,
when you put it that way.
Oh, you just gotta let any old guy's batter in your mouth, huh? She's like, what?
Are you talking about batter or cum? Because yeah.
I didn't.
No one cummed into my mouth.
I didn't lick it. I mean, I licked it. I didn't lick it, though. Yeah. It's
like, so he comes back, and it's like nothing ever happened. It's like just such a... It's such like a cookie-cutter case of a sociopath. It's really impressive.
I mean, this shit happens all the time, though.
I know. It's alarming.
And kids watch this stuff happen all the time. Like, this basically happened to my dad. Like, this was my dad's whole childhood. It was just like... One total sociopathic narcissist finds another total sociopathic narcissist, and then they make six babies and fall in love. It's like,
right. And between each of these kind of jumps in time, there's a big, and it's very helpful that since it's got subtitles on it, a cracking thud.
Yeah. A cracking thud.
Yeah. Which is, what the sound is, and it's Hannah does that thing where she like pulls her head back severely, like she's holding the back of her head, and it's like cracking thud.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. The subtitles on this, I've said it before, are impressively intricate.
Hannah walks into Peter as he's trying to steal a 300-year-old necklace, and he gets caught and stopped by Hannah. And this is like the first like real showdown.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, I can get you fired.
She's like, cool, do it.
Yeah.
What's up?
Do it, bro.
But she says an interesting thing here, I think. She says something like, I'll be here.
Yeah,
for long after you're gone, right. I'll be here. And that made me kind of go, huh, what's that mean exactly? Because she said it with such certainty, and he was kind of like, yeah. You know, there was like a little bit of a, like a head nod to that or something, where he was kind of like, oh yeah, I guess she's right. Where I was like, does that mean she's a ghost? Is she insinuating that she's dead?
I mean, at this time in the timeline, she's not dead.
Okay.
Because she's
interacting with Peter Quint.
Yeah. So, I mean, the big spoiler of this, and you've already seen it because you watched the show, is that at the very end of the episode, it reveals that that crack she's looking at is like a crack at the bottom of a well where she dies.
Right.
Because Miles, being inhabited by Peter, pushes her down the well.
Mm-hmm. But
oh my gosh, then, I should have pulled a Norm Macdonald clip.
But then she, but
got a lot of well wishers here today. A lot of people wish you were in one.
Wish you were in a well.
In a well, they want to push you down a well. It says right here. Apparently, they want to murder you.
But okay, so if she's not dead now, which I don't think she is.
I think she's just confident that she's much more valuable
to the family.
And has stronger ties than Peter.
But nevertheless, to my point, she continues to interact with the living even after she's dead.
Yeah, it's kind of confusing.
It's very confusing.
What the rules are, to the point of like, I'm asking myself, is every single person here dead?
I think they are. I think they're all dead.
Because it doesn't really make sense unless everyone's dead.
Yeah. This is my guess. I'm guessing that they're dead.
Yeah.
It doesn't
make sense if Hannah could literally, like, okay. So it shows.
I love Homer Simpson. I with him no particular harm, but I will make orphans of his children. What about their mother, champ? I imagine she would die from grief.
I mean, the other big reveal shows the Lady of the Lake coming in as they're having like an argument, like Peter and Hannah and the kids are out in the hall, and he's, what is he doing?
Peter and Hannah, take me to exactly what's happening.
I'm jumping kind of forward and around, but yeah, there's a lot of breaking of the fourth wall in this episode, too, because she jumps back to that interview with Owen several times.
I'd say we see that interview four times, I think.
Yeah, and then, like, Owen's talking to her, like, why can't, like, and she's like, haven't we had this interview before? And
it's almost like he's talking to his mom.
Right, because it sounds like it's an Alzheimer's situation where she can't recall
and she
what the time period is.
Yeah, and he's just playing along to make, which is, oh man, that's something you have to do with people who are have dementia or Alzheimer's. Mm-hmm. Like my grandma is like that, where, and I felt so bad at first because I was like intentionally gaslighting her. Mm-hmm. Where she'd be like, you know, my first memory was of the blah, blah, blah. And he'd be like, Grandma, do you not remember telling me this? Like, I don't know, yesterday? She'd be like, oh, I'm sorry. And it's just like, dude, you just got to let him talk. And so that's what he's doing. He's kind of just letting or Hannah just kind of talk through this thing over and over again.
My Aunt Sally, like, is going through some dementia problems. And she, like, kept texting over and over and trying to call my mom because, you know, every other hour she found out that my dad was dead. And so she had to reach out to her sister and console her.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine?
Yeah. So it's just...
It's like the ultimate nightmare.
Yeah.
Hey, remember your husband just died?
Yes.
Just call him back to remind you. Your husband died. He's dead.
And then, like, at different points, like, there's weird stuff. Like, Owen shouting at the camera Miles' full name, and then it jumps to, like, another
scene.
That
was a huge scare. That scared the fucking shit out of me. When Owen looks at the camera and he's like, Miles! I was like, oh!
Yeah, and then another thing with Miles, Hannah catches him smoking. I think that's where it cuts to. It shows Miles smoking a cigarette.
Yeah, a fag. And,
yeah. It'd be great if, like, they just had Miles have, like, a real thick Irish accent.
Hot diddly doy.
Top of the morning to you. And it kind of, Hannah has conversation with Miss Jessel about Peter, because why wouldn't you if you're her friend? Just say, this guy is not a good person. Like, he's a thief.
Yeah.
And manipulative. And
this is just, in the chapel, right?
Yeah,
when they're
I think
both
so.
Sitting there in the chapel.
Well, she's describing him as a glue trap. Just says, like, oh, yeah, the groundskeeper came and said, like, oh, this is a more humane way. They got glue traps. And then she came in one day and found a mouse had chewed off its arm.
Yeah,
to get away,
chewed
and
off
then
its
died,
little leg and died of blood loss.
Yeah. And she described Peter as a glue trap. And it's like, yeah, I mean, how could you not see that coming up? But Miss Jessel just talks about...
Deceptively dangerous.
Right.
Not, doesn't appear dangerous, but much more dangerous than the things that kill you right away.
Yeah, and Miss Jessel basically describes why she's falling for him. And it's she's just falling for the manipulation. Because you know from previous episodes that Peter's just trying to find people's key.
Yeah.
People's, like, the thing that... he can latch onto to control them.
Yeah.
And hers is validation. Yeah. And, like, she doesn't get support from her father, or, like, no one believes that she can do what she wants to do.
And he says he does believe that.
Right.
So, good enough.
And that's enough to...
Weird.
...be able to be an abusive boyfriend.
Yeah. Yeah. It's shocking how... how true that is to what happens to people.
Right.
Like, it seems unbelievable if you watch it and you're like, that can't happen.
Well, I mean, if you're the person experiencing it, first of all, you're being gaslit most of the time.
Yeah.
But also, like, the bad stuff is only a moment in time. The
right.
rest of it, they're delightful.
Yeah. They're mostly peaceful.
Yeah. It was mostly peaceful protests.
Right.
Happened in Portland.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like people can look past really bad shit.
Yeah.
Because they're just like, well.
He only hit me once.
I have to eat this tablespoon of dog shit, but there's a whole bowl of chocolate ice cream to follow it up afterwards. So, you know.
Man, would you?
No.
Okay. What's the most delicious thing to you? Like, what's the thing you, like, can't not do? You know, you have to have.
I mean, ice cream's up there. Ice cream is, like, yeah.
Okay. We have...
Mine is specific. My favorite ice cream is the Tillamook Oregon Strawberry.
Oh.
That's, like...
Wow.
I could just crack
okay,
open one of those.
Okay, great. So now, we have a 4-month-old dry dog turd. And it's not big. It's
right,
like,
right.
It's like that.
Is it like white on the outside?
Yeah, it's like an olive sized.
Mm.
Uh huh. And then all of that ice cream that you want on the back end.
No, because I can go out and buy fucking ice cream. Who cares?
Okay, you're in a scenario. You know, just play the game. Just play the fucking game. You know.
No.
You absolutely would not.
So okay, here would be the scenario.
Okay.
I have to eat the dog shit. Or else I can never have that again.
Oh, there you go. Or, like, what's the lowest amount of money you'd take to eat the dog shit?
Oh, man.
What is it?
A dry, olive-shaped dog shit?
Yeah, white.
Yeah, I'd be embarrassed to say how low it would be.
It's low, right?
Like, I'd say four figures. Somewhere in four figures would be worth it.
$1,000 maybe just. You know?
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't do it.
I probably wouldn't.
But
I'd probably do it for three figures. Somewhere
I would ask for 9,000 and I could probably be negotiated down to five.
No, they're not playing that game. It's you got to name your lowest number, and if they feel you're lying, it's done.
I mean, if that's all it is,
it's actually your lowest actual number.
My lowest actual number?
Yeah, it's the game.
Yeah, I'd do 5,000.
5,000?
Yeah.
You sucker. I'd take one. Take $9.99.
Yeah, I'd have $4,000 more dollars than you. So.
Assuming that you did it. I mean, it sounds like, see, I'd eat four of these. I'd eat 25 of these things and be fucking rich. I'm a thousandaire, Bryce.
So, it's really foreshadowing what's going to happen with Rebecca and Peter. And there's weird, kind of surreal stuff that happens. Hannah opens a door and there's a wall and it has the crack in it.
Yeah, there's
seeing
that crack keeps coming back, man.
Something's up with her mind, obviously, since it keeps hopping back and forth. No one is like, what's, you tell me what is happening? And she doesn't have an answer until the very end. And then it shows like where the turning point with Peter and Rebecca comes, which is he basically wants to sweep her off to America and say, hey, I got a thing going. Don't ask questions. Pack your bags. We're going to America. We're everything free in America.
Na, 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 na.
Yeah, so they're going full West Side Story to go to America. And
you mean Feifel Goes West?
Oh, is that Feifel Goes West?
Yeah.
I thought it was West Side Story for some reason. I should have known that.
Wow, how did I translate that?
Wow, that's really good.
I'm a goddamn mind bender here.
Well, you did pull a clip from the Muppet movie.
Yeah,
for next episode, I'm assuming.
I don't know if it applies to any of these episodes. It definitely applies to movies.
So something's fucky with that. Peter says he's going to sweep her off, but then he just disappears.
Yeah, it's strange.
He completely falls off the face of the planet, and it shows the police interviewing Rebecca, and she's like, he just wanted to take me to America, and he's like, so you don't know anything about how he took 250,000 pounds? You just knew he was going to take you to America. Right.
And she's like, yeah, but that is the way it is. wait. Wait, back it up. What did you say? How much money?
It never really shows how he siphons off all that money.
How many episodes in are you?
I started the 7th episode. Probably like 15 minutes into the 7th episode.
Okay. Yeah. I'm not there yet. I just finished 6.
Yeah.
So I bet we learn later.
Yeah. I mean, well, we see him steal a bunch of stuff. So that's one thing.
Yeah, just, for sure.
Just selling stuff on eBay.
Klepto.
The 1980s eBay.
Yeah, that 1980s eBay.
And then he has some kind of access to a banking account because he can siphon off money. And then there's another... breaking the fourth wall moment. Rebecca, this is basically saying this is when it happened. And I think she's referring to the lady in the lake coming. So what happens, I honestly can't remember what the circumstances for everyone being out in the hall.
Someone had a bad sleep. Or something like that, right?
Right.
Something happened, and Flora had woken up, and then Miles had come out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they were all in the hallway, but now I can't remember why. You don't have a note here about?
No, Hannah comes out. Anyways, I guess it doesn't really matter. They're all out in the hallway, and the kids are like. I think they already know about shit's going to go down.
Yeah, and then he heads on over to the other wing. He's like, oh, wait, no. Yeah, the lady grabs him.
Yeah, the lady
she
just
drags
full chokeholds him with one hand. and just drags him down the hall, just like instantly killing him.
Yeah. Drags him.
And then drags him into the back in the hallway. And then.
Then he comes walking back out. Like,
then he comes
happened.
Sauntering back out and he's like, hey guys, what's going on? What's going on?
He's like itching his balls and he's kind of like fresh. You know? Yeah.
And then they're looking at him real weird and he's like, what? What's going on? And then they hand him like a pencil or something. And he holds it for a second, then it falls through his hands. It was a really cool effect.
Yeah, it wasn't a pencil.
It was something.
Man, we're losing it here. Yes. What?
I can't be bothered to remember something I watched 2 days ago.
Yeah, it's something significant, and they keep handing it to him, and it keeps falling through his hand, indicating that he's like not real anymore or something like this.
Yeah, and
that he's like kind of ephemeral.
Yeah, it's really stealing it from Ghost, you know.
Oh,
you can make things move and pick up stuff.
Try real hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you try real hard.
Feel real angry.
Yeah, you can get her to feel your dick for like half a second. There, is it in?
Yeah.
Is it in now?
But just like Ghost, it's way easier to inhabit, you know, another person. So in Patrick Swayze's version, it would be Whoopi Goldberg, so he can fuck Demi Moore with Whoopi Goldberg's body, which, I mean, who wouldn't want to do that?
I know.
And then
well, here's the thing about Ghost, though. Like, if it's so hard to get to touch everything, then why are you why do you have no problem walking on the floor?
Yeah. Good point.
Why do you have to go through doors and shit?
Right. Yeah.
What's your deal?
So it shows that, you know, he can control stuff, and that's setting up what happens to Hannah, because she can still, like, be there and be seen and move things.
It sets that up, mm-hmm. But it also sets up what happens to Miles, which is he's basically becomes a puppet for Peter.
Right.
So Peter dies, and then basically haunts the house and controls.
Oh, it's
Miles.
A doll falls through Peter's hand.
It's a
That's
doll.
That's what it is. So, 1987, something is wrong with Miles. Oh, yeah. Then it shows, like, Miles at the well, and Hannah sees Peter behind Miles, and she's like, what are you doing here? And then it's got this really great effect where it goes from Peter's voice into Miles's voice, like the sound effect, like, kind of melds into it.
Yeah.
So it's, if you're not convinced anymore that Peter's inhabiting Miles, it's very, very clear that that's what's like, happening here.
That's what happening. That is exactly what's happening here.
And then Peter's ghost basically explains how, like, why he's being such a shitty little kid with Miles is that what he really wants is to get out of Bly Manor. Like, he's stuck there.
Get me the fuck out of this horrible place.
Yeah, if I get taken to prison, at least I'm out of this shitty manor.
Yeah.
It's not a shitty manor. It's a very beautiful
manor.
It's a Bly Manor. And then Hannah gets pushed down the well, and she sees that crack in the well wall that's appearing everywhere.
Yeah, she gets pushed down the well by Miles.
Right.
Miles runs up behind her, presumably with Peter inside him, because that's all just freshly been set up, and mm-hmm. boom, pops her in the tuchus. Mm-hmm. Down she goes, and then boom, and the last thing she
sees...
There's a cracking thud, and the last thing she sees is that crack in the thudded bottom of that well.
Then
it's a dried up well.
Snaps back to Hannah at the top of the well, and that's right as Danny walks up.
Yeah,
and she's like just recovering from, or is it a flash forward? I don't know what it is, but she's up at the top of the well again. It feels like it just happened, or she just witnessed it.
What is time to ghosts?
Yeah,
you know, it's like it's just like a number, man.
And then there's a quote. I think Owen says this: we can't count on the past. Memories fade. We could fade out any time.
Yeah.
And then it shows Hannah, like, basically reiterating to herself who she is. It's like, it's 1987. My name is Hannah Gross.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. So, like,
I'm at Bly Manor. These are the things I know.
So that's the big spoiler, is that Hannah's dead. Apparently, for this whole thing.
Maybe.
And she's a ghost.
Probably. Is everyone dead?
Yeah.
I see you wrote down the same thing I was thinking.
Yeah, I don't know.
It feels that way. little bit. There's got to be a live person, right? If there's a live person, who do you suppose it is?
Say Danny.
You think? I think Henry has to be alive. I think Henry...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Although he's...
But that's weird. Like, why would he...
It is weird. It's very weird.
I don't know. So anyways, that's the episode.
He'd die of grief, I imagine.
It's very confusing. Like, I know this might be difficult to listen to us try to piece it together, but it's... I mean, you try to summarize what happens in that episode. That's not...
First, start a podcast. Then, figure out how to summarize the fifth episode of The Haunting of Bly Manor. I dare you to do it.
So thanks again for listening to our Haunting of Bly Manor after show. If you like it, please subscribe and leave a rating on Apple Podcasts. We do a new movie review every week. If you like our little banter and our lack of, you know, research skills.
You got to stop harping on that.
I know.
Say it out loud. No one will know.
It's the one thing we get criticized for on our reviews. Like, no, they don't know anything.
It barely happens ever.
Right. At the very least, if you know someone that does like that kind of stuff, share it with a friend. Ways you can help us financially is if you go to our website at horrormovietalk.com, click through one of those buttons at the top banner, either Amazon, buy on Amazon, which you can just buy anything that you're already going to buy on Amazon. We get a little taste of it. Or check out our Patreon. We got perks for all different levels and participation. Thanks again to our resident artist, Dustin Goebel. He's awesome. He really ups our posts, makes us look good.
Yeah, he sure does. Also, special thanks to maxwell.r.allen on Instagram for coming up with that spectacular intro music. And, of course, Kitty H for her lovely voice at the start of that music as well.
Dustin is on Instagram at dgoebel00, dgoebel00. If you want to leave us a voicemail, number is 682-253-4468. And that's all. We'll see you next time.
Next episode. Bye-bye. Did great.